And welcome, welcome, welcome. Good day, good day, good day, dear listeners. Wherever you find yourself, you're here in the company of your number one talk radio station. And this is your Wednesday session of The Brand Conversation. Now, as I pointed out towards the specific discussion that we are still ending off on today's session with regards to public relations and so forth, it's key to just, you know, for you to understand that public relations has always been thought of as being either marketing, either media, either the entire communication aspect coming from an organization, a company, you name it. It can be an NGO as well. But here in Namibia, the scenario has always been that public relations points to one direction. In some organizations, you find literally public relations taking place because they would have, set up distinguishing roles in terms of you've got a PRO, you've got a communications person, you've got a copywriter, you've got a marketing department, you've got an advertising liaison officer or, you know, someone in that format. And all of them might be found in one department, or some might be split off or, you know, separate from each other's roles, meaning marketing is marketing, communication is communication, which includes a PRO or a public relations representative. But, my discussion of yesterday also encompassed or also included the conflict scenario in terms of what public relations can also be used as a managing an image, you know, an image of an organization in the broader public or in the public's perspective. And I gave you the example of what happened between in terms of the very unfortunate events in terms of where Windhoek's mayor was arrested and the public relations conflict that spun off from that one event. But there were also the identifiers for you to understand that you get media relations, production relations, investor relations, internal relations, government relations, community relations, and customer relations. All of these specific trends or specific strands of PR has its own sort of like distinct role or very, clear and unique role and presence. Because in most cases, media relations is the overwhelming, the overwhelming sort of like activity that PROs in Namibia engage in. In most cases, it's media relations. I mean, it's all about establishing close contact relations and rapport. Rapport is that understanding that, you know, that, that sort of like not familial or not over the top familiarity, but just professional familiarity in terms of saying, listen, the PRO or the communications or the media officer of an organization has access to, various journalists in various media organizations because they would like to share information directly, or sometimes even with the editors to share information directly. Or if information needs to be shared, that these various media organizations have access to the PROs in terms of either a WhatsApp number or WhatsApp group or direct contact details like an email or even just an office number. Then the others are, you sometimes, like I indicated yesterday, you get the overlapping scenarios sometimes of like production relations and investor relations. Some PROs exist between the investors and the company. For sure, guys, you get such scenarios. I've not seen one as yet here in Namibia, but you do get such scenarios where the investors, which are also like the board representatives of an organization, have their own communication outlet and the company has its own communication outlet. Because the investors could be other companies or other business people. And the company is one, law-abiding entity on its own. It's one law-abiding entity on its own. So it makes sense. It makes sense. But sometimes the communication also, there are multiple platforms for communication in that regard to take place. Because in most cases, a communication person for a board is either the company secretary or it would be a CEO, the CEO, him or herself. So, you know, it depends on who gets designated with that role or responsibility. Internal relations is now a situation of having, when I indicated to you the word public, publics takes on multiple, sort of like identities. You've got internal and external. Internal can be the board of directors, the investors of the company, the management of the company, the various employee departments or departments of the company, as well as also you can find internal communications like in a supply chain scenario where you've got producer, middleman, facilitator, the retailer, as well as also the consumer. So you've got an internal communication network as well in set up there as well. And all in all, it's how or what kind of operation that this company or organization is involved in, which looks at the means or the scenario in terms of how these internal publics are arranged and how they are communicated towards. Lastly, there was customer relations. I gave you the incident or the scenario in terms of it. In most cases in Namibia, you've got customer service staff. Or, yeah, customer service staff that are usually empowered to communicate various messaging coming from the communications or marketing departments in terms of what they communicate to customers. Or if customers have got require feedback, require answers, require some, you know, problem solving and troubleshooting assistance, what can be responded towards them? I mean, just to give you a very good example, the my internet service provider, my personal one, they... when I filled out, you know, the form of making use of their service, they require your email address because they can send communication directly to your inbox. Now it's my personal Gmail account and you get updates in terms of possible scam alerts just to warn you, possible network, when the network might need or requires maintenance and when you can expect sort of like, you know, disruptions in connectivity for your internet broadband at home. So those are one of the kinds of way in which customer service relations can be extended, can be communicated to just alert your customer base. But that was, you know, just a groundwork discussion of yesterday. Today's discussion has to look at the public relations versus other departments. And these other departments are predominantly departments that have very similar roles to PR. Now, it's key to note here, guys, the first one that public relations always gets sort of like smashed into or, you know, placed in the same basket as here in Namibia, because so many times when you see the various departments of NGOs organizations, many corporates in Namibia, they have marketing and communication thrown together, or they have marketing and public relations thrown together. That's now the department's name. Now, ultimately, to understand how that sometimes works, you've got to understand each one in its own set, each one in its own role, or each one in its own league. Now, you've got public relations first up against marketing. Now, with this regard, and I've stressed it, yes, many times, guys, public relations is a subset of marketing. Just to run down for you the philosophy of marketing is that it's based upon the four main pillars, or sometimes known as the four main philosophy points of marketing, of the overall marketing concept or the marketing philosophy. That means you need to have place, price, promotion, and product. The only one that actually makes you money is price. The other three are considered all sort of like outputs. They are mostly outputs in order for people or for customer to look at the price and pay for the product. Now, the marketing is sometimes more squarely focused on driving sales, which is true as well. Marketing is mostly driven or mostly centered on looking at how the sales trends are going, as well as also promoting products and services. And also, it aims to ensure financial success as well as the financial survivability of the organization in the long term. Meanwhile, when you look at public relations and its role, this is squarely sometimes more focused on managing reputation of a company or brand. So you've got the one field or the one school of thought that predominantly has to look at the overall functioning of the organization. Because in marketing, guys, marketing is technically like business administration or business management. You've got to manage the business. So you can manage a product, né, and its survivability and success. That's how if a company has got multiple product lines or it's got immense product range and product depth. That's product range. Product that, which means product width and product depth. So when you have marketing for an organization, you've got to look at the pricing. You've got to look at the production inputs. You've got to look at the overall distribution setup of your product. You've got to look at supply chain relationships, meaning how distributors, middlemen, retailers, the producers, everyone's relationship in conjunction or in connection with how to get the product from producer or from the warehouse to the consumer at the end of that channel. Whereas public relations just has to look out for any negative publicity, has to manage said publicity, has to negate any negativity related to the brand image or the company image, has to find ways in communicating directly to the public through trusted communication channels, either through print media or through broadcast media, or even through electronic channels. And that is the main gist of public relations. Now, public relations falls under the promotion strand or the promotion philosophy or promotion pillar of marketing. Whereas marketing has to take this broad-based look, this overall holistic approach to the organization's survivability and its feasibility and its success. Promotion is just here, one little corner, just down there somewhere, close to your pinky, you know, your little toe in your shoe. It's just there. Looking at the company image. Now, both departments, when you measure public relations to marketing, both departments may embark on very similar types of activities. I mean, this can be, for example, like interaction with customers for feedback or to generate or to garner or to collect feedback about a product or a service. Or what do you think about, just some suggestions, like the suggestion box exercise that was sometimes installed by various companies. Not that many people made use of it. I have to be honest, guys. Sometimes the suggestion box was like a little lost appendix hanging out somewhere there in the sun. Who would go and put their letters in there? The first concept you have to ask is, who has access to go open up that suggestion box? But let me not digress. Now, other examples could be that for a more direct marketing lens, regarding now feedback coming from customer bases, is that the information is sometimes used to better understand sales trends. But this is also what the marketing department does, or marketing executives do. They work in close connection or in close conjunction or in sort of like the close proximity of the sales teams of the organization. Because for a marketing department to make decisions upon the next approach on where to place a product or where to place the company, they've got to understand what the sentiments are from the customers. And the customers and who is best equipped. Who? Either your sales teams or your sales representatives or your customer service representatives, your frontline staff. Please do not go and ask your driver or your company drivers. Please, guys, your company drivers go and deliver something and they come back. They just work with the guys that receive the products that have to be delivered. Please do not go talk to your company drivers. Don't, guys, don't. They're not the sales reps. They're not the customer service staff. They're not the people that have to go and see a client to close the deal. Now, as, you know, from a direct public relations sort of like scenario or from that lens of a PR lens, information is also used to understand customer satisfaction in public relations. For sure. And also ensure customers are happy. And also make sure any dissatisfaction is also managed very quickly. I'll throw in another example here, guys. And this example is actually one of the most shocking ones I've ever seen. And this is coming from, like, leadership within a company. So, I myself am an avid sort of a consumer of PC games, especially just PC games. And this has always a very sort of like heated, discussions with regards to customer service levels, because gamers themselves have very unique tastes, especially when it comes to consuming entertainment through a game. Now, before we sort of like expand into or head into the rest of the example I want to add on, we're just quickly gonna, I've got an ad break just creeping up on me, but this example will show you how bad customer service, not customer service, but more customer relationship interaction can go very bad between a company's representatives and the customer base. Because it was based upon a product that was brought out. Some of the customers realized, there's something wrong with this product here. And they started voicing their dissatisfaction, especially on a social media platform, especially on Twitter. And when the ad break is about to just hit me now, I'll share with you some of the sentiments that have come through from someone like a CEO and even main or chief designers.
Gusa etokoro lyohunga. Lipopera nyamoge, popera wakweni. Ninka wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba, oweno urugansi sungumi. Moktura mwe hundiro lyeyo wamba zuma okoko, ndimo gwana kuma pukuru gumanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantantatu zime, ntatu e utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
This is a public announcement for the Swakopmund Regional Council by election by the Electoral Commission of Namibia. The Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all eligible registered voters for Swakopmund constituency to go and vote during the by-election scheduled for 12 August 2022. The polling stations will open from 7 a.m. in the morning to 9 p.m. at night. Fixed points will open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. at night. These following fixed points are Tamariskia Lutheran Church, Westside High School, Mahetago Hall, Swakopmund Secondary School, Coastal High School, formerly known as Herman Gmeiner, Swakopmund International Youth Hostel, Meduletu Community Hall, Hanganeni Primary School A, Hanganeni Primary School B. These are two fixed points. DRC School Project and Community Center, Swakopmund Primary School Hall, Mile 4 Caravan Park, Atlantic Junior Primary School, Kerklike Maatskaplike Raadsaal, also known as the NG Church, the DRC Fire Brigade Open Space, Matutura Municipal Container, Plaats Amir, the mall itself, and John Avasep Primary School, also known as Vrede Rede. Then also you've got Matutura Open Space A and Matutura Open Space B. These are also two points. Then the DRC New Block Extension 23 at Wagdar, Tamariskia Primary School, Namap Primary School, DRC Lutheran Church A, and DRC Lutheran Church Point B. Then there are the mobile teams with team 301 and team 302, as well as also team 303. Team 301 will operate from Guanicontes from 7 a.m. in the morning to 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Swakopravier Plots also at the Moonlight Resort from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. at night, while Team 302 will operate from the Swakopmund Retirement Village strictly only for residents and staff only from 7 a.m. in the morning to 11 a.m. Then they will move on to Vilvicha Old Age Home strictly for residents and staff as well from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Then they will move on to the State Hospital Swakopmund for strictly patients and staff members only from 5 p.m. in the afternoon to 9 p.m. at night. Team 303 will operate first at the police cells Swakopmund Town strictly for inmates and staff members only from 7 a.m. in the morning to 11 a.m. Then they will move on to the prison where they will also just operate for inmates and staff members only from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Then they will operate from School of Christian Academy in the Kramersdorf area from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the night. Remember to take your voter's card to the polling station in order to vote. Only eligible registered voters for Swakopmund constituency will vote during this by-election. Go vote. Your vote counts. Now, as we come back from our extended break right there, and in terms of just looking at the example that I want to share. So, the scenario of marketing and communications, or marketing and public relations. Understandably, you have to see that marketing sometimes concentrates on the sales concept and also on the survivability or the impact that the product has to make in the greater community or in the greater atmosphere outside. Now, ultimately, what happened was this company known as Blizzard Activision, they are the owners of games like Call of Duty and Call of Duty Warzone and all those other kinds of, entertainment franchise names. However, with one of their products that was recently launched at the end of June, known as Diablo Immortal, a free-to-play game, the gamers, the customers, the consumers realized that this game had a very serious problem to it. Meaning, for you to try, since it was a free-to-play, in the game was, engineered a pay-to-win scenario. Pay-to-win meaning the game, as you progress further in the product, meaning you are using it for your entertainment purposes, the game becomes a lot more resistant. And a lot of the customers realized that ultimately there was something wrong, meaning they were forced to pay for every point in, if they want to progress. They complained on Twitter, platform of the company. And one of the lead designers, you have to think of a lead designer as the project manager. And one of these lead designers came out and said, no, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. And ultimately, the lead designer also, because of the negativity where that was being communicated by a lot of the customers, they will also start beginning to respond directly to these criticisms and to these disgruntled or very unhappy customers. Now, I'm giving you this example because here is someone, if you have to look at it in the traditional sense of the marketing concept, here is someone that works in the production aspect, and the communication person or the PRO was supposed to intercept any communication with regards to that. Because you have to understand, with social medias, the CEO can follow the official account of the company, and so also the senior management as well. They all follow or they are friends with the official social media platforms of organizations that they represent. Now, ultimately, what happened was that these lead designers, these main project managers in the organization, were responding to criticisms on the official social media platforms of the company. Now, ultimately, this became a little bit of a public relations nightmare, because if you're the PRO, you should have indicated to the management of the company, listen, if I'm the PRO, the communications department, do not respond. Do not respond. Do not engage. Even if you are feeling emotional and you feel like defending a product, do not respond. It is up to the public relations team to do it. Let there be one channel of communication, not a multitude of channels of communication. Unfortunately, that did not help, because no such scenario or no such communication came through. And ultimately, it has just been bad PR for Activision Blizzard. Now, there's another example that also took place, also from the same industry, the gaming industry, wherein a CEO, a former Electronic Arts CEO, came out and said that developers are wonderful people. Developers, though, the guys that make the games, they're wonderful people, but they're also very stupid if you have to look at, how to market or to make money from a game. Now, this also created a major backlash, especially from the customers. The customers are always the gamers, guys. And this CEO, ultimately, he's actually at a different company. That's why I said he's a former Electronic Arts CEO. He's at a different company. But ultimately, he came back and apologized on social media, but the damage had already been done. because of the message he posted out there. Now, whether you are the CEO, the owner of a company, the MD, doesn't matter who you are. You can be the Pope even, guys. Doesn't matter who you are. Before you post something on social media, and you are in such a very prominent position of an organization, first clear it with your public relations or your marketing teams. First clear it with your communication department. It is crucial. It is crucial that the correct image is placed out there, is positioned out there. The correct communication. Do not, if you're a CEO and you're listening to the brand conversation on this Wednesday, do not go and engage with people on social media. Do not do that. Firstly, it's a trap. Secondly, you will create more damage than, you know. Do not communicate. Don't. Even if it's the company that you started with your own hands, don't get engaged. Because there's a reason why the communications department, the PROs, the marketing departments, that's the reason they exist. Let them do their work. Do not engage. Do not even try to defend in one either way. Don't. But we'll be back after this short ad break.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiri rimba oshina hepero momunyovye tupeva peyuva. Monao, for Global Parts, tunova ungure ova puike, ova nongo, nova harupu okukuvatera. Tunovitenda peke peke vyo vikwiri rimba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natuwa weather ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako omana omanene shimu na omaile no top run. Tuvadha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts tukupa onji viro othemba, ohunga no vitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
Now the next component after the public relations versus marketing that we have to look at is public relations versus advertising. Now, both are similar, guys. I say similar, but the one clearly only concentrates on external communication. Clearly and always. Because for you to understand advertising, guys, it is not public relations. And even in the you know, here at the course that I've seen, is that they try to mix up here at NUST, especially I indicate that, because they try to mix up public relations and advertising. Public relations and advertising is not the same thing. Advertising has to do with understanding what kind of message you can place where. Understanding what type of pricing you've got to include, if there is pricing to include. Advertising also has to do with how you buy media space, meaning how you buy advertising space, for example, here on Eagle FM. How do you buy it on our app? How do you buy it on our website? That's what advertising has to look at. Public relations does not look at those things. Public relations has to factor in the communication that they have to get out there. And some of the best ways is either, well, a lot of the PROs aim to look at, you know, the most cheapest option, which is a direct interview, but sometimes it has to be in a very doctored manner. I say doctor because they have to ensure that everything is in a controlled environment for them. Now, public relations versus advertising is in the following sense for you to understand, for you and I to understand, is that advertising is the act of garnering public attention. That's the basics of the basis for advertising. It's about creating awareness from the public. Often through the use of various types of media. A company who wants to advertise in order to promote a product announces an expansion into a new market or for a growth for the company. Or they reveal any pricing changes. Like, for example, saying there's a special on this, this six pack of beer. It was $50. Now it's $25. That's the kind of mechanisms that advertising aims to make you aware of. They're not going into the concepts of, you know, having the CEO come and announce a discounted price on a six pack. No. Now, while advertising is the intentional act of trying to be in the spotlight, public relations is more strategic. It is more strategic, and it's more a thoughtful approach. Like I mentioned with the disaster scenario of the disaster public relations incidences that I just mentioned in the previous, just before the ad break, about the, you know, the gaming industry examples. I mean, it was for the public relations teams to be aware that their CEOs, that their lead designers or their project managers all have Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts or Instagram accounts, and to communicate with them internally. Listen, guys, if you're going to talk about a product, run it by us. If you're going to say anything on social media, run it by us. Now, this thoughtful approach, guys, is all about how a company should be interacting with internal and external stakeholders. Sometimes it may be in the company's best interest to just lay low and also try to strengthen its relationship with the public by not being front and center. That's some of the mechanisms that PR or public relations, makes use of. Now, as I mentioned, guys, one of the examples I just gave you was that a CEO came out and made a very absurd comment on social media. He then came back and apologized, and the customers, the gaming community were all like, no, my friend, you came out and you said that you intentionally want to milk the customers for every dollar. Meaning that you've got a very predatory approach to giving us a product. If you give someone a product, the person has to pay for the product, right? So why are you giving someone a product and then you tell them if you want add-ons to the product, you need to pay at every stage? Then what was the point of paying for the product to start off with at the very beginning? If you want to give someone a complete product, give them a complete product. Then you get the next one in terms of public relations versus communications. Now, this is also another sort of like misunderstanding where people say public relations and communications is the same thing. Not entirely, guys. Not entirely. Because public relations and communications are heavily intertwined. Yes, but they're not the same thing. They're intertwined just like public relations and marketing sometimes to an extent, and public relations and advertising to an extent as well. I say to an extent for each of those examples because they're not the same thing. But both involve portraying information outly in the hopes of creating a positive brand, a positive image, and a positive relationship that fosters positive value for the organization. But communications, guys, may be a separate department entirely within the company, solely responsible for written, verbal, or any kind of broadcast-worthy information packages to stakeholders outside, inside, you name it. One potential difference between PR and communications is that exchange of information. Sometimes PR is a one-way channel that imposes information in an attempt to have a more favorable public image. For sure. Let's use this example, you know, in terms of that analysis. Let's say there is a major unhappiness from a customer base and a CEO decides to choose a TV station or a radio channel, or let's, for example, say the CEO decides to make use of Eagle FM for an exclusive interview on a very, very, very emotional and divisive discussion or a talking point that has erupted. And he or she comes out saying, listen, I'm available to address these fears, these concerns. That's what PR tries to do. But communications may also be more rooted in a two-way functionality of receiving feedback and also making changes based on information collected. Because communication sometimes works, for example, with the marketing department guys. And then the marketing department guys did a little bit of a survey or a little bit of a research with the sales force of the company, and they realized, oh my goodness, some of the customers are not happy with some of the support that they get, for example, from the warehousing teams or from the maintenance departments. And what happens is that the company then writes something through the comms department communicating to their suppliers and customers. It's the same example I gave you also of my internet service provider that emails me directly to my inbox just about potential alerts or potential, you know, items that I need just to be aware of. So if I experience a bit of a dip in internet performance, they have communicated to me saying, listen, this is the scenario. There we had some maintenance taking place here and here and there. So just be patient with us. It's the same thing that a lot of companies now in Namibia are also making use of their Facebook accounts, especially Facebook and Twitter accounts. They communicate statements as well as also various alerts to the public through those social media platforms. It's very helpful, but you also have to understand that not everyone hangs every day or sleeps every day on their social media. Now, that is what communications aims to do. However, PR just takes in a one-direction approach. It's not a two-way street. It's a one-direction approach. So they aim to control the environment of communicating the message that they want to send out. Now, those comparisons, guys, bring up the interesting components because you've got to see why PR is not marketing. PR is not advertising. PR is not communications. It's not. And it's critical to also have that understanding of these, you know, these components because PRO or PR or public relations has to interact with so many stakeholders, internal and external. And PR's main function is all about, image management or reputation management. That's all it's doing. Image management and reputation management. Now, if you're going to look either for a career, and I know it's going to sound like a little bit of a, you know, guidance scenario here, but if you're going to look at a career in public relations, there is technically no defined career path. There is none. I mean, journalists can crisscross between comms officers and communications departments and public relations departments. And even an English teacher can do that. So there is no set or defined career path scenario. But an individual can obviously obtain said, you know, tertiary education to help you on that path. But it's key to identify, you know, what communication or in under which umbrella career or career grouping does public relations, communication, media studies, all those things fall under. Because if you had to call me now and say, listen, Dwight, I'm interested in doing PR. But then I can just as well tell you, listen, but why do you want to do PR if PR is just a subset or a sub-function of marketing? It's not a sub-function of you know, journalism studies or media studies. It's a subset. It's a sub-function of marketing. Because marketing is the overall concept. And you'd be even more well-equipped heading into an economic activity, you know, either doing a job or starting your own consultancy, if you had a marketing approach or you had a marketing sort of like background. Now, marketing, guys, helps to empower you to understand so many concepts. Because the most inspiring one is always dealing in advertising. Because in advertising, you see real creativity. Public relations, communications, and marketing have a lot of corporate, you know, sort of like a highly corporate environment associated to them. But in advertising, you see real creativity come through just to communicate and entertain people. You see real sort of like value in terms of creativity, how creativity is linked in with speaking about just a little bit, you know, like a six pack of beer or a 5 kg of flour. You see the real value in that activity. But public relations in practice, guys, is that PR also involves managing a company's, obviously it manages the company's reputation in the eyes of its customers. And when you have to, you know, when you have to look at some examples, and I, the examples that I also gave you, there's another one here in terms of where in 2012, a company known as Chick-fil-A, was forced to issue emergency statements with respect to its stance on same-sex marriage after a Chick-fil-A executive publicly came out against marriage equality. Now, on so many occasions here on the Brand Conversation, guys, I've indicated to you, if you are a marketing executive, a brand executive, or whatever executive, never, ever, 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 ever speak about politics to your customers or even on a broader external, you know, platform like social media. And if people know that you work at a company, don't speak about politics on your social media platforms or speak about, you know, a specific contentious, you know, social discussion points. Don't get involved on those points. Also, don't speak about religion. Do not.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, the important thing to understand is, guys, you can speak about a sport scenario, or you can speak about certain functions. I mean, it depends on how well you've established a rapport with the various stakeholders that your company has to deal with. Okay, let's also understand, if you're the business owner, you definitely own a specific range of you know, your right to talk about certain impactful you know, socioeconomic discussions that are found in Namibia. You can do that. But if you have someone working for you, that person cannot be talking about politics, because that person does not know what the political position of the customer is. Now, do you want to create animosity between your customers and a manager or a executive that works for your business? No. Just tell your executives, you don't engage in religious talks. You don't engage in political talks. Because I gave you just the examples just now here of public relations nightmares that were started off by a CEO. Now, understand, a CEO is not a company owner. A CEO is just a chief clerk of clerks. It's just a chief clerk of clerks. Now, right there, the CEO has a specific, you know, sort of like set guide in terms of how they need to, you know, interact with the public, because CEOs are, it's pretty difficult, guys, because you can't do much elaborate things in your personal life if it's just at home. You have to be available to do a lot of functions and attend a lot of functions, because that is what public relations also dictates of a CEO, meaning you have to go to fundraising events, you have to go to business community events, you've got to attend a lot of other corporate events, and you have to fly about. So technically, you don't have your own life as a CEO. You don't have your own life. And that means you've got to be talking about the business and representing the business as a walking, talking billboard at every single day. And the PR team will be there to assist in maintaining that image. They will be there to maintain that image. We've got a handful of CEOs in this country that seem to, you know, portray that scenario. They seem to portray that scenario. I'd also, you know, fairly enough, say that a lot of the politicians also do the same thing. it's as if they all know that there is a public relations, rule book to play by. So they act accordingly. But then you get business owners. Listen, guys, business owners are totally different from a CEO. Business owners are they are go-getters. They have a different approach to things. Some business owners are people that are they are very rough around the edges. They are very brazen. They are sometimes, people that are very challenging. I don't say challenging in meaning it's a problematic. I'm saying challenging in the form of that. They've got combative personalities. That's where the go-getter aspect comes in. So they're not afraid of representing themselves, of representing themselves in a public sphere, and also making decisions that, falls both in the public eye as well as also in the business eye. They're not afraid of that, but there is also a format that these business owners also have to abide by. I mean, public relations is key. It's key. Celebrities are also the next category of prominent people that they keep a very low presence, meaning you don't see them every day out and about. I don't know where you guys hang out, but in terms of just viewing some celebrities keep a very low profile. They don't go to nightclubs. You might see them hanging out at a hotel or at a resort or at a spa or at a lodge, or you might just see them at an airport, or you might see them on the same plane if you're flying to Cape Town or Joburg. Those kind of scenarios. That's the only time you will see celebrities or in the favorite medium that they represent themselves in, like a music video or in a movie. That's all. Or in a magazine. But celebrities, they keep it pretty low. They keep it very low. Now, here's the thing, guys. With public relations, as mentioned, you've got a very challenging scenario to combat with. And a company often has multiple publics to impress. Often. Internally, that's always the management, the board, the rest of the company staff or departments. But they have to present a very competent image to those internal, publics. It can also be like in the supply chain example that I indicated. You also have to condone a very professional and competent image as well to fellow supply chain stakeholders. For example, let's say you are the production company, the company that produces, let's say, the orange juice. So you have to communicate and look the part to the farmer that supplies the oranges, as well as also to the warehouse company that you sell the orange juice to. Because the warehouse company also has to communicate then to the retailer at the other end. Now, if you're the production company that also has the warehouse unit, ultimately, yes, for sure. That means one less person in the supply chain, but you have to look the competent and professional part in both directions. Back to the producer and down the stream to the retailer. Because the retailer doesn't care about having such a professional, image towards the end user, the consumer on the ground, because the consumer is just there to come buy and go. So the retailer knows they don't have to, put up a very professional outset. It's just that public relations will say, listen to the retailers, listen, you've got to make sure that all staff wear uniforms, have their name tags on, and also, have a very friendly personality. Like the cashiers and some of the floor staff have a very friendly personality in terms of when they interact with customers. Because you need to make sure that the labeling as well as also the corporate image is visible at all times. But that'll be public relations then stepping over into the marketing component. Because marketing ultimately will say, listen, colors, signage, uniforms, color schemes, the corporate identity of the company falls under their scope. So public relations then has
a separate function from that as well. Now, ultimately, guys, you've got to understand that PR is in itself a unique discipline, but not divorced from the overall marketing concept. It's not completely divorced from the marketing concept. And it's key to know this because there's a lot of confusion with regards to PRO, communication, advertising, stuff like that. I mean, in Namibia, it's very clear and obvious how these lines have been blurred. I just mentioned to you just a few seconds back, or a few minutes back, that a lot of how you find journalists from the journalism profession cross over into the communications and public relations profession. Sometimes they even apply for marketing manager posts. And you just go there, but you don't have a marketing background. You're a journalist. You've got a communication background. And it's key to note this because it also factors into, well, how do you discern the functions that take place? Now, ultimately, since we still have like 5 minutes left to go, you can still find me later on tonight on the Business and Economic Zone, where we will be finishing off with some of the key discussions on the digital labor component. For now, you have to stay tuned as the On the Radar team are ready to make the entrance. But before I sign off, we've got to take into considerations, you know, just some of the skills with PR or what that public relations representatives always or might need or might have in their sort of like wardrobe. I have to say wardrobe because it's not entirely wardrobe, but it's wardrobe. Now, these specialists, guys, often have very strong communication skills. Do not come as someone with a shy personality. Shy personalities, you're wasting people's time. You've got to think on your feet and you've got to speak. You've got to communicate. Now, this does not always mean go and stand in front of cameras or a room of journalists. No. This means think quickly. You know, what needs to be done in terms of managing an image of a company. So, strong communication skills is always needed. Even if it means that you'll get into an argument with the CEO or whoever of the organization, stand your ground because you need to share the communication clearly. Now, that also means that you've got your role will also include having the ability to absorb information, to process it in terms of how it may impact a company's image. Because if you have information and you need to make a decision, should we say it in the format that it has come to us, meaning as very crude or in its raw form, or does it need to be refined a little bit and then communicated to whichever interest or whichever targeted stakeholder group needs to hear this? It's one of the key balances also because you sometimes would have seen, like I gave you gaming company executives that came to defend the product on the official Twitter page of the company. And it just exploded, meaning it just blew back in their faces. They thought they could give insight, expert insight into the product and the product's functions and or the value that the product aims to give to the consumer. But they didn't. You know, they didn't say it in a very clear manner, meaning it was unfiltered, it wasn't properly communicated, the scenario wasn't properly understood, and thus it created more animosity than it was not supposed to create. Now, key to this is, guys, always understand how you're going to share information. Are you going to try and, arrange it very properly, filter it a little bit, make it put it in a more presentable format? Or do you really just want to throw them with as raw and as completely unfiltered as it is to the stakeholder out there? The stakeholder can be the consumer or, let's say, the rest of the company. Do you really want to do that? I will also share something with you in terms of where, just as a last example, scenarios of internal communication even. I mean, you guys have all seen in companies with more than 50 people, that have like an internal internet system where some staff members feel it's okay to share certain emails either as a joke or either not as a joke or just for some entertainment or some fun, component. And then someone in a totally different department asked them, listen, is this the platform for you to share such information, or of what use is this to the total company function by sharing such emails? Now, I've done this. I've asked this question on previous occasions to someone that sent the email. And on another occasion, I'll just stay with the one occasion. On that one occasion, the people shared almost like, it was almost like a specific, it wasn't a fundraiser email, but it was an email just about, let's do this. But it was more like a one department function. And everyone else in the company asked on this email, on this group email platform, is this really the way it needs to be communicated? Now, that was the function of a PRO, which that company did not have at that stage, to say and intercept and say, listen, guys, this is not what this email platform is for. But alternatively, that brings me up to the end of today's discussion here of the Brand Conversation.